Hey everybody, thanks for listening to this episode of My First Sketch at MyFirstSketch.com. I'm Josh Hyam. If you have any questions, thoughts, or recommendations, feel free to email me at Josh@MyFirstSketch.com. You can like the podcast on Facebook at Facebook.com/MyFirstSketch. It'd be really cool if you rate it 5 stars and leave a review, whatever platform you get the podcast. I think I fixed most of the issues. I think Stitcher might still be weird, but it should be up everywhere else, basically. First off, thanks to everyone who came out to Sketchybater this past weekend. During Sketchybater, I made the announcement that Philly Sketch Fest will start doing regular shows starting this summer. I'll be starting with organizing at least 2 of them. Sketch Ball, which will be a show with debuts. Whether it's a new troupe performing together for the first time, or a veteran team performing new material, or some out-of-towners making their Philadelphia debut. Sketch Ball, like a debutante ball, get it? And then also Cutthroat Comedy, a new version of a comedy competition based loosely on one of my favorite shows in the past. I'll have more information as we get closer to the summer. Our friends in Montreal Sketchfest are in the middle of their festival. I've seen some fun photos, and I'm definitely having FOMO. As I record this, there are still 4 more nights of shows left. Check it out at MontrealSketchFest.com. Speaking of, today's guest is Chase Jeffels, currently a member of West to West and $20 Sandwich. West to West is actually heading to Montreal Sketchfest Wednesday, May 10th at 8 p.m., along with Jonah Border, Rails Comedy, and Gotham K. Tickets are available at MontrealSketchFest.com. Chase's first sketch is called I'm Spider-Man. I read one Spider-Man. Chase reads the other Spider-Man. I won't get much deeper into it than that, so I don't ruin the joke. So let's go to the sketch. Spider-Man is running through the streets of New York while the voiceover plays. So here I am, just another day in the city. It's beautiful some days, ugly the next. The only thing keeping it classy is me. I watch over her, I protect her. And I mean her as in the city, just in case you didn't get that. I live the life of a hero, punching bad guys by day, trying to see through with a stupid mask at night. I mean, you would think that the spider would have given me some night vision, but I mean, come on. It also would have been nice if one of the side effects of being bitten was making my dick bigger. But I guess the hero life isn't perfect. In fact, it made it smaller. Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah. With great power comes great sexiness. No, I don't think that's right. But whatever. Who am I? I'm Spider. What the hell? Sam stands on top of a building with another man dressed as Spider-Man. Chase. Chase is texting.
Oh, this is awkward.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? You're wearing a Spider-Man costume.
It's not a costume, it's a suit.
No, it's not. The only suit is the one I have on because I'm Spider-Man.
You, Spider-Man? Come on.
Why is that so funny?
Because I'm Spider-Man.
No, you're not. My name is Peter Parker. I got bit by a spider and I have spider powers.
Yeah, okay, whatever you say, buddy.
Chase goes back to texting. Who the hell are you texting?
My mom. I'm just asking her what's for dinner when I get home from being Spider-Man.
So you just tell everyone you're Spider-Man?
Ah, so you admit it.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I really hate you.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Just take off the damn costume.
Suit.
Who gives 2 shits? Take it off.
No.
Yes.
No.
I'm Spider-Man and there can't be 2 of us.
You're right, so take off the suit.
No, you take off yours.
How about we make this fair? Let's see who can be most like Spider-Man.
Okay, fine. Should be easy.
Okay, trivia.
How did my parents die?
In a plane crash. How old were you when they died?
6. They pause and look at each other.
What high school did I attend to?
Midtown High School.
Worked at Daily Bugle as a photographer. best friend Perry Osborn.
Ruin. I love Mary Jane. They stop and don't know what to do for a moment. Okay. What about spinning a web?
All right.
He gets in position to shoot a web.
I don't feel like it.
Yeah, me neither.
How about we see who can jump to the next building?
Okay. They look over the edge. It's really far down. No. Okay, to make this fair, why don't we both take off the costumes?
Yeah, okay, I guess that is fair.
They exit. Next day on the same building, Sam comes on in a Batman mask, letting out Batman grunts to try to figure out the voice.
I'm Batman. Batman. Batman.
What? Chase is there with a Batman mask on, too.
Trivia.
Sam punches Chase out. The end.
My name is Samantha Russell. I'm a sketch comedian, and I have a prop and costume hoarding problem. So I figured the best way to get it under control is to start a podcast. On Should I Keep This? I chat with other comedians about their experiences in comedy and our insane prop and costume collections. And on each episode, we both bring a beloved item to discuss whether it's a treasure or just trash. Sometimes it turns out no matter how much money or time we spent on a prop, the only thing we should be holding on to are the memories we've made along the way. So check out Should I Keep This? We have new episodes every 2 weeks available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey, Chase.
Hello.
All right. So tell me about this superhero sketch. Where did this idea come from?
Yeah. Well, this isn't like the first sketch, but it is one of the first sketches. I was 14 years old. And it was one of the first sketches that got attention ever. And it
Wait,
was
you
like
were 14?
I was 14 years old when I wrote this one, yeah.
Okay.
And I wrote it during high school. Me and my friend at the time, Sam Bannigan is his name, and we had this running joke we would have at high school. We'd be like, No, I'm Spider-Man. So like, prove it. And yeah, I wrote this basically in one go when I was 14. And one day, this is for like YouTube, this was like a shot film sketch, and it was like, it got over 400,000 views when I posted it, and it was like the first sort of like, whoa, I was like, oh my god.
how does it, like,
I think it was,
who picked it up to like to perpetuate like the cycle of it?
Well, it was just like, you know, I was 14 years old, I had a YouTube channel, a comedy YouTube channel. How many more times can I say I was 14 years old? I had a YouTube channel and I just posted it. And I think it was around the same time that The Amazing Spider-Man was going on, like with Andrew Garfield. So it was just in the zeitgeist. And yeah, it skyrocketed, which was really for me at that age. I was like, oh my God, what the hell?
Because, you know, I don't release the video of this, but no one will see me double taking when you said 400,000. Like,
yeah, it was wild for me too.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So you were writing comedy at 14 years old?
Yeah, it was always like even earlier. I mean, like even as a kid, like I would say, like, if I wish I had a copy or like I had a knowledge of what the first sketch was. But when I was a kid, like we had those like V8, I don't know what you call them, like those like tape cameras.
Yeah. And just like a camcorder, kind of like.
Yeah, like a camcorder. My parents would give that to me. Gave that to me at a young age, and me and my friend, my best friend at the time, you know, we were like 11 years old, and we would like, you know, shoot one angle of like this. I don't know. I think like the first sketch was called like the neighbor or whatever, and this neighbor was always like giving us like crap for skateboarding and stuff like that. So we would shoot one angle and then, you know, pause it and then shoot the other angle, and it would be on the tape, kind of like you would cut it on the tape.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You would edit in camera, you know, because you couldn't edit after the fact. Like
exactly. So I've been writing since then. I was always writing sketches and obsessed with it and tippity typing away and didn't really know what the heck I was doing. Still don't really know.
So it was always like comedy for you then? Like,
yeah, I didn't really like It's funny because I don't know, as we go on and kind of talk about stuff, I was more of, I went from like comedy and then went into like theater. And then like after all this like theater trajectory, went back into comedy. So it was like kind of a like a full circle back to it.
So what were you into growing up? Like what were your I guess your influences then?
Yeah, I idolized Jim Carrey. He monks him out. As a kid, I was obsessed with like Fire Marshal Bill, that sketch. To the point where I like memorized it as a kid, and I actually wanted to like put on a version of it at my parents would like throw this huge party at the house every year, and I wanted to like perform it for everybody. But I would need like my friends to join in, and they just didn't join in. So they're like, no, I'm not going to perform this. I'm like, but I know every word. They're like, well, we don't. I'm like, okay, that's fair. So Jim Carrey was a big one. And obviously Monty Python was a huge one. My dad would show me Monty Python a lot. John Cleese, big influence. Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean. I was obsessed with Mr. Bean. I would watch that all the time. As a kid, and then there's Pink Panther, like Peter Sellers, even Alan Arkin. I even liked Alan Arkin's version of Pink Panther.
I don't think I ever saw the Alan Arkin one, and I have to go through the Pink Panthers because I don't know which one I had as a kid. I didn't understand it.
Yeah,
like you know that brand of comedy, but it was like fourth or fifth in the line. I want to say it was like Revenge of the Pink Panther or something, like, and I don't know if I need to see the other four before I see this one or no. But I need to go through a full like Peter Sellers like experience, because the only things I've really ever seen of him are Strangelove and the really racist movie The Party.
yeah that time period. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I keep saying that too. I'm like, I need to go and rewatch Peter Sellers all the time, but I always just end up on the Pink Panther because I just like the character. Mm. You know, I don't really know what the stories are. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't know. I like it when he does the goofy stuff, you know.
So, I mean, you definitely have a hold on Goofy, like,
yeah,
and that like that version of Smart Stupid. Totally. Where like my mom thinks Mr. Bean's the dumbest thing on earth, and I have to explain to her, I was like, you don't understand how smart you have to be and how choreographed he has to be for a lot of his stuff, like
totally it's so precise, and like they rehearse before every episode, right? They would rehearse all the
there's that one documentary about Mr. Bean where he talks like there's that I forget which episode it is, but he's on the train platform in a mailbag. And he's crawling and trying to get over the gate. And then someone swings the gate around. So he's now crawling back the original direction. And it's just so stupid and silly, but funny.
Yeah.
But like, he was like very much like intellectually trying to do the math of making sure all of this was right. Like,
totally. It was wild. And in the right order, you know, like in the right order. So it like escalates like a sketch has to, right? It's hard.
Really, and I feel like I have to like revisit Mr. Bean because I as much as I love him, I don't think I've watched every episode. Like no, I stick to specific things, I think, and rewatch, but maybe I'll marathon that one of these days or something.
I mean, yeah, it's a good one. It's a good chill one for like for feeling just to, like calm down. I don't know, like I sometimes watch before bed because it's just like it's so, you know, there's no worries.
I showed my nephew and niece and they're like 6 and 9 and I totally forget that like the one I show him his butt, like he shows his butt and I was like, oh my bad, like
oh no, not a butt, okay.
And my sister was like, it's fine, they know what a butt is, it's a, like but yeah, like it's a Christmas tradition, I have to watch Merry Christmas Mr. Bean, like you know, that those first few are really fantastic, and they're the ones that are the heavy rotation for me. But Rowan Atkinson is just fantastic too. It's awesome. So,
yeah, I even like his Blackadder stuff. Like, I didn't come to that till later, but Blackadder and even the Thin Blue Line, like that stuff, still super funny. I like.
I think of the Black Adders, I definitely have more of an affinity for fourth, like for the First World War. Mm. Like,
yes, yeah.
I mean, the first season is not great because they didn't figure out what they were doing, and then two, and then it gets better with each sequential series, I think.
And when Hugh Laurie joins them, it's a totally different thing. It's great. It's awesome. Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, just basically as a comedy fan and a kid with a camcorder, you just start doing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's how it all.
And what then? I mean, when you say camcorder and then the YouTube, was this concurrent or like were you putting stuff up immediately? Like, was the sketch done on the camcorder and immediately to YouTube, or
like I think the tape stuff when it was on tape, like that was just for us, like we never released it. But then when I first got, like, my parents got me a digital, like one of these, like I guess you can't really see it on the audio, but like first digital camera I posted, my first video I ever posted was like of my dogs fighting. And then slowly I kind of like understood editing, and then I started editing together like these. I have this DVD somewhere in my collection at home of like me doing the late show with Chase Jeffries, and it's like just me riffing and then going into a little sketch, having a laugh track in the background, you know, like the old iMovie laugh tracks or whatever you could put in. And then from there, yeah. And it was until like later into like high school, grade 9-ish, that I started to get really into filmmaking and I wanted to be a filmmaker really bad. And it was more that than comedy, but then comedy came more into high school because I was doing more theater stuff, I guess, and wanted to become more of an actor. And that was the way of practicing, I guess, you know.
Was it more acting? Like, were you doing straight theater and straight drama, or were you doing musicals in high school?
I was doing musicals in high school for sure. I was doing, but I was very focused on like trying to be a dramatic actor, I want to do Brecht and I want to do Edward Albee, you know. It was like a total shift.
In high school, you wanted to do Brecht and Albee? Like,
oh, totally. I mean, because that's what we were like, that was like a very romantic, you know, it's very romantic to think about those. And they're amazing plays, like they're incredible when they're done right. And I just love that. But I was also like, you know, playing Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast at the same time. And I love doing that. But I was like, but that's not the real stuff, man. Like, that's not. Yeah. But yeah, comedy was always there.
Do you have like a favorite role of your more theatrical time?
More theatrical time. I guess like, because I went to theater school then, like a classical conservatory, George Brown Theater School in Toronto. And we had this role, this play called The Last Days of Judas Iscariot. I should know the playwright. The playwright's amazing. Look it up. Stephen is his first name. But I played Judas Iscariot in that. And it was so like it was kind of like comedic, but it was more on the darker edge because like, it's like about how Judas, like he's like locked in purgatory and he feels so bad for betraying his best friend, or he feels betrayed almost by Jesus or whatever. And yeah, definitely my favorite dramatic role. Did you find
even Adley Gurgis?
Sorry,
there are letters there that I have no clue how. Yeah, they're gonna. Yeah, because that sounded familiar to me, and I'm trying to think of why that sounds familiar to me. Because I don't think I've seen it.
He did. Jesus Stop the A Train, I think.
But, yeah, I don't know. So what prompts the switch after you go to theater school?
Yeah.
What flips the switch to go back to comedy and doing comedy again?
So after the 3 years in a classical conservatory, one of the shows at the end of the year was a farce. It was called A Flea in Her Ear. It's a Phaedo, like a French farce. You could call it a sex farce. Very, you know, and very questionable play. I'm just going to put that out there. It's very questionable, as sex farces are. It's like of its time. It's very... Yeah, but in that show, I played a character that was just really fun, and it was it was kind of like me remembering, like, once we performed that play, and like the laughs, and like the, it was just full, it was so fun. And I was like, oh my God, like, I love doing this, you know. I was doing some tragic sort of like Shakespeare stuff, and I was like, oh, that feels like, oh, really artistry, but where do I feel really good? And that like struck me at the end of the year, and I was like, oh my God, I love a physical comedy, because that's what farce is mostly. But just like, I like making an audience laugh. That's most important to me. That feels like I have a use in theater, in art. I don't know. I feel like that's just been a consistent thing in my life with my family too. Like, it's always been laughter.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I like always like dressed up and tried to make my family laugh at the dinner table. You know, I felt like there was a role there to like have the family be happy and together. Like, we're like, our love language was laughter or something like that. Anyways, we want to like psychoanalyze it. That's kind of why I feel like that was awoken back up again in that show. And then after classical theater school, I decided I want to go to clown school. And so through a series of events that were all very like serendipitous, I ended up in France going to a clown school called Ecole Lecoq. And it's this sort of like crazy, crazy clown school in the middle of Paris. There, like, we obviously didn't just do clown, but like kind of explored theater in general. And like, but my intention was going to be like, I want to be really good at comedy. So I want to know the roots of comedy and all that jazz, which is like clown and commedia dell'arte. And we jump into all sorts of territory, Buffon.
Yeah.
And so I went there for 2 years. And at the latter part of my time in France, I also studied with Philippe Gollier, which is like Sacha Baron Cohen's teacher. Teacher. So I trained with him for 2 weeks and in clown. And from then on, it was just like very clear where what I wanted to do. And that was to be a comedian.
And I always ask people that have done theater, you know, more legitimate theater. Because I've never done it. I've only ever gone on stage to try to make people laugh.
Right.
How does it feel, or how do you know that you're doing well in a dramatic like play versus, you know, comedy? Comedy, you know, you're succeeding because people are laughing.
Yeah, it's a good question.
So what's the feeling of, you know, for you of like, oh yeah, we're really hitting our stride, we're really doing well here, when no one's laughing, when no one's like, they're just paying attention and there's no like audible anything of people paying attention well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
How does it feel as a person on stage when in a dramatic show like that? Like,
that's the thing. It's tough. And I think for me as like you, I also am like, I think I'd rather the immediate feedback. But in the dramatic roles, I don't know, like when it felt good and when it, you know, you come off stage and people are like, wow, that was great. It was because the audience was completely silent. Like, there was not a shuffle, there was not a breath. It was just like, you know, like a really, you could still feel something. You could still feel that they're with you. Like, you can kind of feel that they're with you, but there's not like obviously laughter, or maybe there's a gasp, or you can hear like them sniffling from crying if that's what the scene's trying to do. But
that's an interesting way. Like, I guess I never thought about it that way, of like the silence of not being distracted, of like being fully focused.
Yeah. Well, in comedy too, it's like in between the laughs, you know, when people are like the tension is still there and we're like waiting, and then the tension's finally broken with the laughter, and just like a consistent that, maybe, you know. If it's done well. But obviously there's been times where it hasn't gone well and you can tell when they're not with you and people are bored.
So, I mean, you come back from France, I assume. So what's your next step after that?
So that was 2019. I graduated in 2019, came back to Canada. I had this weird feeling in my gut that I needed to come back to Canada. Thank goodness I did. And then I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Honestly, I was pretty stuck. I wanted to be a theater actor.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had this clown background, but then I was like, okay, so how do I apply that to a North American type of theater or performance, stuff like that? And because I wasn't like, at this point, like I wasn't like, I'm going to be a comedian. I was like, I have like these comedic chops to like do plays or movies or whatever. Sketch wasn't the first thing in my head.
Yeah.
And so the pandemic eventually happens after me kind of like trying to audition for theater. And I go back to Alberta, where I'm from, and live with my brother for a little bit. And while that's going on, I am like, what the heck am I supposed to do? Like, I'm so like broken because theater shut down in a sort of way. And I'm like, okay, so what? I don't really know what my intentions are. But then I just went back to what I did when I was a kid. And I like, my brother had this video camera, and I was like, okay, I'm going to just make a few sketches just to fill in the time. And I made like two or three sketches while I was there. And one of which I entered into the Toronto Sketch Fest. And one I entered into like the Great Canadian Comedy Film Festival, which is like a pretty young festival here in Toronto. And yeah, then I was like, oh yeah, like this makes sense. This comes naturally, you know?
Yeah.
And I revisited like my younger self that was just like, this is why I was doing it before. It was kind of cool, full circle.
We have to pause here because you talked about, you know, growing up in Alberta. Which, you know, I've talked to a bunch of people from Alberta, from, you know, mostly from Edmonton.
Yeah.
So you're from Edmonton. Okay. So did you have in your high school, and I mean, you're doing, you know, high school theater. Was there that like improv competition for you? Like, was that a thing that you knew about?
Yeah, that existed. I wasn't in that scene though. I didn't do improv. Really.
That I'm so completely like confused by that I didn't, because every person I've talked to from Alberta was like, oh yeah, we totally did the improv, whatever it was. It wasn't the Olympics, but like the improv competition. And I was like, what is going on here? Like high school improv competition, so bizarre. But like, I wonder if the idea of coming from a place that is very prairie oil cowboy, even if you are in the city of that province, like, is there nothing else to do? And that triggered your response to like, all right, I have a video camera. Let's play with a video camera. Like,
yeah, you could look at it like that. Cause I moved away from Alberta. I mean, Alberta has a great comedy scene, honestly. I mean, it's small, it's very small, but it's growing now. Like right now, there's the Grindstone, there's Dynasty, there's the new Rapid Fire space just opened up in Edmonton. But yeah, like in Alberta, there's not a lot to do. you can drink and go and play sports. But if you're an artist, it's kind of like, what the hell do I do? But yeah, definitely. Definitely would prompt me to do that, especially in the pandemic. We could do nothing, and I couldn't perform anymore. Like after all these years, like years and most of my life of performing, it was like, now you can't do any of that. So
in the pandemic time, where you're just, you know, actually not legally allowed to get on stage for year and a half, like, so you pick up the camera again and you start doing shorts and videos. Have you found a group of people to help with them? Like, do you find a cast to help with? Like,
yeah, it was my brother. Like my oldest brother, Taylor, he helped me out. It was like super, it was actually a great bonding experience for him and I too. But he, you know, he would be in like some of the sketches. He would help me like film it. He would score it because he used to be a producer, like a music producer or whatever. So he would help produce the music and give some notes on editing and stuff like that. And so it was just him and I, and then otherwise, when he was away or not available, it would just be me kind of doing a character piece or whatever.
All right. So Bridge the Gap, how do we get to West to West?
So yeah, West to West came. So I moved back to Toronto after like, it's like the fall of 2020 maybe. So I come back here with my other brother. We move in together and I'm like, okay, so what do I do now with this knowledge? I should probably get in the comedy community. So how do I do that? So I kind of did the improv thing. I went into improv first, did the improv jams, did improv classes. And in a bad dog class, I met my comedy partner, Kenneth. And we just like ran into each other. We were in the class together. And after class, you know, we were like, hey, yeah, I like how you play. It's really fun. And, you know, we walked home together. We lived pretty close. And eventually, months later, you know, we joined a sort of a duo intensive at the Assembly Improv here in Toronto. And that thus bore us West to West. We were just like, what do we call our duo name? West to West, because we're both from, he's from Vancouver and I'm from Alberta. Super creative. And so we just did improv around the city for a little while with no real intention of doing sketch yet. But we had this sort of like clownish, absurd way of playing improv, where I don't know if you've heard a lot about clown prov in Philly. I don't know if that exists.
I know people that do it. I don't think I've seen enough of it to call like myself an expert for
Canadian
it.
Duo, the classic Canadian duo would be Two Man No Show. I'm not sure if you've ever seen them perform, but it's like Ken Hall, Isaac Kessler. Very good friends with them now here. Me and Kenneth, we like work with them every now and again. But basically, yeah, it's like, you're just kind of like, there's no fourth wall. You go into the audience sometimes, you play games with the audience rather than just doing a standard improv scene. So me and him did that for a while. And we're like, oh, we really like this style. But like, then someone was like, do you want to do some sketch? And I was like, oh, well, we don't have sketch. So we wrote some sketch and we did it, got a good response. And we kept doing it. And yeah, like, I mean, we're pretty new still. Like, we just kind of, Toronto Sketch Fest was our first sketch festival.
Yeah.
And now Montreal Sketch Festival, we are second. So, yeah.
So someone actually just was like, hey, do you guys want to do sketch? Like,
yeah, they were like a sketch. They're called The Sketch Show in Toronto. They're called The Sketch Show. Okay. And they just needed an opener. And we were like, do you want to do 10 minutes of sketch? And we were like, okay. So we came up with something, and they seemed to really like it. It was a good response. So
how did it feel to like reflex that muscle? Like, well, I'll phrase it this way. You're so used to doing sketch for video. How was the experience for translating it to a stage product instead?
It was great. I mean, like, it's because it felt natural because I was already doing so much like theater stuff.
Yeah.
And like in clown school, we would do clown turns, right? Or we would do what we called autocours, which was like just like small pieces of theater we'd show at the end of each week, right? So it was like something that was very natural, but this was like the first sort of sketch, like if you want to like call it sketch thing. But yeah, super natural and very, very fun. Like I felt like home in a sort of way.
How much is the difference between like I keep wanting to say East to West because I think that's a band.
Yeah.
But like how much now is West to West doing improv versus doing sketch? Like, does one feed the other?
Yeah, I mean, it's like how I feel like most sketch teams, maybe not all, but work is like through improv, and we work on our feet a lot. Like we don't sit and write down things very much. Like Kenneth is a bit more of a writer, and I'm a bit more like I need to be in the room and we need to like figure it out while we go. But what was the question? What was the question?
What's the breakdown of how much improv you do versus how much sketch you do? And then how does the improv feed the sketch?
Yeah, I don't know. It fluctuates. Like now it's mostly sketch. Before it was just like pretty much just improv. Like this year we've done a fair amount of improv. But yeah, it fluctuates. But they feed each other, right? Like in sketch, we realize what we should be doing in improv, and in improv, we should realize what we should be doing in sketch. You know, like sketch, there's stronger choices. And sometimes improv, we don't, like, we're not always on the same page, you know, on a bad night.
Yeah.
But we're like, our improv should be looking more like our sketch. And we need a little bit more improvisational aspects in our sketch, we think, because we like to be with the audience. We like to like, we don't like pretend they're not there. And if there's like a noise, we'll acknowledge it. Or like if there's a reaction, we'll acknowledge it, you know? And,
So you're definitely bringing like that clown aesthetic into your sketch world too, because the people I've talked to that are, you know, that have trained as clowns, a lot of it that I've picked up on was that there, you know, you mentioned like that no fourth wall, like the audience is just as much a part of this as I am. Like, so they're here. We're not going to pretend they're not. Like, so your sketch ethic also generally has that in mind too.
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there's moments where we'll bring someone on for a moment, or like I'll be in the audience at the beginning of it. And there's part of our sketch where I'm able to like fart with my hands. And so like my characters are like, I fart at people or whatever. And just as like a cheeky way of doing it. But yeah, I just think it's so much more exciting as an audience member. For me, when I watch a show, sometimes I'm like, oh, there's too much fourth wall. Like they're not like, there's such a listening you have to do as a comedian, right? And it just seems easier to be like, oh, did you not find that funny? Like, just like kind of acknowledge it, like, what, well, like, what's going on with you? Like, you know, let's confront this face on, rather than, you know, fourth walling it and kind of like having to just take the punch when it's not funny. But yeah, I love that part of, yeah, it's important to me, I guess.
And then otherwise, like, how would you describe, you know, a West to West show, like for someone who's never seen you before, you know, that little blurb of like, why should someone come to your show?
I guess it's for that. We're though we are like, you could say our sets are like wild and chaotic sometimes, like it's wacky world. But like we invite you into that wackiness, you know, like though it is chaotic, it is also very precise. Like our physical comedy, we rehearse everything down to like the movement, right? It's only in certain moments where we can like, we break the structure and we'll come out, but then we'll come right back on the train tracks, you know? So I guess it's a wild, I don't really know. It's a wild thing. It's like, if you want to see something, I suppose a bit different in terms of the sketch world, something that's a bit more maybe surprising and might throw you off, maybe moments make you feel uncomfortable, then come on out if you're looking for something weird, something kind of wacky, I think is the good word.
You mentioned how Toronto was your first festival.
Yeah.
What was the experience like for you guys to like be surrounded in comedy like that, like for the first time?
Yeah, that's insane. It's kind of like I was telling Kenneth and a lot of people, I was like, it's like being at a music festival.
Yeah.
In a sort of way, right? It's just for comedians and you're exposed to so much comedy and so many people, like, and comedians will love to talk, you know. I was exhausted, man. But it was amazing to see that there was so much. Like I didn't know that, especially in Toronto, like obviously people come from all over the country and America and all that, but I didn't know that existed until the end of the festival. And I was like, wow, like there's some funny freaking people around here, you know, like we don't see it very often, especially in Canada. It's right now, Toronto specifically, we're going through kind of a rough patch of trying to make sketch come back to life.
Oh, that's, we're all.
Everyone.
And but I also say that I'm jealous of Toronto because I think Toronto's doing better than Philadelphia. Well, Toronto's definitely doing better than Philadelphia. Like Philadelphia, we're still like ground level rebuilding. So,
right. Well, I mean, I think we're not far off. I mean, we have Second City to like kind of like keep us afloat, I guess. as like that's some sketch that's in the city, but the other sketch troupe that I'm with, $20 Sandwich, we are like running. We're running as many shows as we can to like get people on, to have a space to perform.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's talk. So how does $20 Sandwich come about?
So $20 Sandwich is like a very, it's much more, it's less clown. it's more very like a standard sketch. And basically it was a group that was made and then I was invited into it. My buddy Sean, we did clown sort of courses together here, like clown courses. And I guess, you know, we just got talking about careers and how hard it is. And then he was like, hey, we're looking for another sketch troupe member. And he brought me onto that. So. Yeah, that's been a learning curve for me because I don't really, I'm not used to that. Like, I don't know if we want to call it like Second City standard sort of, you know,
yeah,
set. So it's definitely a learning curve for me, that one.
I was gonna say, how does it feel different? Why, like, how does the difference feel between your duo versus this big group that you were invited into?
They're total different beasts, right? Like, again, me and Kenneth, we work kind of alone and we work on our feet a lot. And we're really focused on audience members and like how we're working with the audience. Whereas $20 Sandwich, you know, we invite a director in from the community. We write, we pitch, we rewrite each other's material. It's a bit more like we're figuring it out as we go along and the director helps us with that. And like West to West, it's like, okay, like you're going to move here, like your head's going to like move here. And, you know, like it's more dance. It's like more dance theater kind of. And then $20 Sandwich is more just like, yeah, standard sketch. Sometimes we even improvise, you know, it's not as precise because we're still trying to figure it out. It feels like a lot of the time. But I think that is that speaking from another sketch comedian, like that kind of feels like a standard way of working. Yeah.
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 So, and you're still pursuing like other theatrical, like roles and jobs and being a working actor in Toronto.
I'm a working actor in Toronto. Yeah, I mean, I'm auditioning for. I'm about a year and a bit into the industry. I've done a lot of commercial work. I've done some TV and film work. But yeah, I'm definitely like also still have that actor serious side. But comedy feels more homey to me than that, I guess. That makes sense. Yeah.
We didn't talk about much, but you did mention about like, you know, growing up with like those British influences kind of thing. But like here in America, Saturday Night Live is the big juggernaut of sketch comedy. So I always ask, I ask everybody, who's your favorite SNL cast member of all time?
Yeah. That I remember when I listened to the other episodes, I was like, oh fuck, I'm gonna have to. Because like honestly, like I love SNL. And like when I was a kid, my brothers, they had the best of like Chris Farley, they had the best of Will Ferrell, they had the best of, you know, all these. So that's what I watched when I was a kid at first. Like I didn't know what Saturday Night Live was until those like DVD sets came out. And I don't watch it that much these days. I don't watch SNL very much these days. But I do like right now, my favorite current cast member would be Sarah Sherman, because she's brought like this weird like horror comedy, which I'm like amazing. Like that's such a different, like for me, again, being sort of in the clown, being in sort of like the French absurdist comedy training world, I'm like, it's amazing. That's really cool. I'm glad they brought that on. So I think Sarah Sherman would for sure be the current, but favorite of all time, it's always probably Will Ferrell. I gotta say Will Ferrell is, and just so funny to me. I don't know,
Sarah Sherman's so interesting because before the pandemic we had a theater here called Good Good, which did more avant-garde, you know, you could try things out more. And Sarah came down a lot. Like it was like a secondary home for her, as, you know, Sarah Squirm. So when she got picked up for SNL, a bunch of my friends are like, wait, what? Like, it was such a jarring thing of like, what is she going to do? Like, is she going to get normal? Like, her stuff's so weird and crazy.
Because in that time, which she was still very like what she's doing now, very like absurdist.
Like I don't think I ever saw her live down here, but like I knew of some of like the things that she had done. I was just like, wait, how'd she get on TV? Like it, like are they whitewashing her? Like are they gonna like fix her, or is she gonna be as weird as she is? And she's held on pretty well to the weirdness. Like it's been fantastic.
Yeah, it's super respectable because SNL's like, it's this way sometimes, you know what I mean? It feels like that anyways. Like, I don't know much about SNL, but maybe you could speak to that. But like, it's very like, they want this kind of comedy, like a very specific kind of comedy, right?
I think you're not wrong with saying that, yeah. Where I feel like there has to be a part where like Lorne Michaels or like some of the older people that are like, you know, the producers are like, I don't understand this, but we'll let her do it. Like,
yeah.
And then with Canadians, like, I don't ask everybody, but I do ask about like Second City, because I feel like Second City is the big like historic. Do you have a favorite like Second City cast member? Maybe not necessarily for their time on at Second City, but like
beyond. I mean, yeah, like you mean like SCTV you're talking?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I mean I I always like, people are always just like, you look like a young Eugene Levy. And I'm like, is that, that's a compliment, right? I think so. He's a handsome guy. But like, so I guess maybe Eugene Levy, I again, I didn't watch SCTV a humongous amount. My father did. So I've seen some of the stuff that they've done. I guess Martin Short would be another, another.
He works too.
Really wacky sort of dude. Was Mike Myers on SCTV? He was, right? SCTV?
He did Second City's stage show. I think he was post, like, I think the TV show was already over. He did the Second City stage show, and then SNL plucked him pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he spent much time at Second City stage. And I don't know if he was touring company or, but whatever. But whatever he did, he wasn't there long.
Gotcha.
Before SNL came around. Yeah, I ask everyone, and on top of that, I do ask all the Canadians for some kind of recommendation of some kind of Canadian pop culture that Americans might not know about. Whether it's comedy, music, anything at all. Something that's very distinctly Canadian that an American should hunt down.
Damn it. Damn it. Oh, there's definitely, like, I gotta think. I think I mean, you know about Nathan For You, right? Nathan Fielder. That's already kind of an American thing.
Right, that's right. He is Canadian, isn't he?
But he's from Vancouver, yeah. He went to school, I think he went to school here in Toronto or something like that. I guess that's not super Canadian. But there is, I'm gonna make a plug. This summer there's a new sketch show coming out that I have an episode on Crave called The Dessert. And it's like the first sort of, like, it's not the first, but it's like, I don't know, Canada doesn't have very many sketch shows like on TV, but this is like
I feel that's different. That's the opposite, because I mean, with Baroness and Tall Boys. I don't think outside of SNL sketch gets as much play. Comedy Central did more for a while, but I think we're definitely in a dry spell on TV.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to sell sketch here. Even like Tall Boys, they're done. Their season now, Baroness, they're done. So I guess, yeah, the one existing that I know of now in my mind, I guess it would be The Dessert. So definitely check that out. I have an episode on there. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. They're really funny people.
We'll have to write that down and seek it out.
I think it's coming out this summer, in maybe July. I don't know. They haven't said anything, so I'm just going to say July, not knowing if that's true or not.
I guess it's about people that do sketch and stand up or whatever, but like, how do you know what comedic idea that you have would work better between $20 Sandwich or West to West? Like,
yeah.
Is there something that, like, oh, this idea has to go to Kenneth, or is this a big group thing?
That's a great question. I think I had an experience the other day where we did like a writing exercise in the $20 Sandwich rehearsal room. And yeah, I think there was just this like idea that was like, it was inspired by like surrealism. And then like, one of my pet peeves is when people walk too close behind me when I'm walking. And I was like, had this like, I started typing, and all of a sudden there was this sort of like weird dance in my head of like someone, you know, walking behind somebody. And then, you know, like, I don't know, it just like, it feels like as soon as it feels like there's a choreography or there's an absurdism that like it's a bit, little bit more heightened than sketch, I guess, that lends itself to something a bit bigger, then I'm like, I think that's a West to West idea. Whereas if it's something a bit more like who, what, where, you know, who, what, where are we, and what's the game, then it's a $20 Sandwich sketch for sure. But I don't know, it mixes in between, because like, I feel like I can't help but be a physical comedian. Like, any idea I have always has some sort of like physicality. Like, I want a sketch of the $20 Sandwich is like, it's a dog breakup, so I'm this dog that is breaking up with its owner because the owner was petting another dog or whatever, and I pretend to be this dog who stands up and packs his bag and gets, you know, goes home, like starts to leave. So yeah, it's a feeling, I guess. When I feel like it's too absurd for normal sketch, then I go to West to West, I guess.
Is there ever like a blowback of when you think of an idea, like while you're in the writer's room with $20 sandwich. And you're like, yeah. No, wait. I've said too much. Pull it back.
No, I mean, we haven't gotten there yet, for sure. We haven't gotten there yet. I definitely will have to, I do have the debate with myself. I'm like, which one is this? Because I can't, I don't know. And I feel like the $20 sandwich people, they'd also be like, oh, maybe we can do a version of that here. Yeah. And then, because it's still at the end of the day, it is our sketch, but what we make will be so much different than what Kenneth and I would make. So, maybe there's room to do two different versions.
I was gonna say, that'd be an interesting way of seeing it, of how a more traditional sketch team approaches it versus your more clown based, improv based team. I don't know. Now I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
As we're winding down, I have the same two questions to finish this off. Firstly, and you mentioned that you're relatively new to the sketch comedy world and still figuring out, but what's something that you've learned in this time that you would pass on to a new writer?
I would say, get up in front of the audience as much as possible. Like I said, I think comedy is not complete without that, without the audience. And it's a very clown thing too. It's a lot of clown making clown shows is getting up and doing something in front of people. Cause I don't know. Sometimes I feel you can get stuck as a sketch writer in your room, writing stuff and just keep writing things and kind of showing it to your friends and stuff like that. But once you get it up in front of a group of people, which becomes sort of one person in a sort of way, totally different thing. And bomb so much in front of audiences, because that's, as soon as you can fall in love with that feeling of bombing, then you're you're invincible, because it hurts, but it's part of it, right? It's part of the work.
Yeah. It's that idea of oh wow, that didn't work at all.
Yeah.
Now I have to figure out how to fix it and how to make it work, because I still like this idea. Exactly. I don't want to give up on this.
Exactly. And you found it funny. There's something about that. It's you found it funny. So it is probably funny. It's just how you do it, right? It's
and how you translate it to make sure other people are aware of why you think this is funny. Yeah. That's always a huge struggle for me, is how to make this, how to fix the context to let everyone into this world that I that I've seen. And it's interesting to say that, for you to say that, to get in front of the audience, granted, you have all the theatrical training and stuff, but you start it on a camcorder, doing just videos for a while.
I guess I don't know, and this is going back to psychoanalyzing sort of stuff, I feel like I spent a lot of my childhood on the stage of my family.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean I'm not saying they're it's a bad thing. That could be taken the wrong way, but it's just with my brothers specifically, we're always riffing. We're always on stage, we're always, camcorder came after sort of the family stage,
Starting as a little, vaudeville show in your own home.
Exactly.
And finally, you mentioned it a couple times about how comedy just felt like home for you, but you're juggling two sketch teams, you as you pursue a world in performing arts, but why is comedy still such a big draw for you?
I guess comedy is kind of it feels like it's kind of a way of living, I think a lot of comedians say this, right? It's there's this I'm going to quote Alan Watts right now. I don't know if anybody knows him, but he says anxiety and laughter are the same emotion, but just from different points of view, and in this world where everything is so anxiety is everywhere, to choose and definitely I have the luxury, we have the luxury of choosing to laugh at the world as it is, this sort of chaotic thing it is right now. It's the only way, in my point of view, of getting through it. know? And like, I don't know, in the pandemic, comedy saved me. Like, I don't know what I would have done without comedy. Like going to bed, watching Charlie Chaplin or Mr. Bean, that's what helped me go to sleep and like relax and kind of be here in the moment. Because like comedy, at the end of the day, it's like it brings everybody into the present moment, right? Like when we're in a room, we're laughing together. When we're laughing with friends, we're here as much as possible. So like for me, it's like, I don't know, it doesn't feel like there's anything else right now. And that comedy is the thing, you know, it's the only thing that's going to get us through this, it feels like.
I wish more people thought that way.
Me too. We all laugh. I mean, we all try to laugh, you know?
And obviously, I've said this before, I don't trust anyone who doesn't want to laugh. Like some of those weirdos, like
serial killers,
like some weird old men that are like, it's not funny. I'm like, I don't know what happened in your world, but I don't want a part of it at all.
Yeah. But I wonder what's going on in their world that like they could find funny, you know, that we could point to like, oh, you're pissed off about that. Or like, what's that all about? I don't know. That's what I mean. Like clown. It's kind of like you're poking at them. Like, what's going on? Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Chase.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, Josh. It was a pleasure.
As we mentioned, Chase has two sketch projects, West to West and $20 Sandwich. Follow them at West to West. That's West, the number two, West Comedy, West to West Comedy. And $20 Sandwich, and the 20 is the numeral, $20 Sandwich. You can follow Chase on Instagram at chase.jeffels, and on TikTok at chasejeffels. There's no dot on TikTok. West to West is heading to Montreal Sketchfest Wednesday, May 10th at 8 p.m. at Theater St. Catherine, along with Jonah Border, Rails Comedy, and Gotham K. MontrealSketchfest.com for more on that one. And $20 Sandwich has a new show, Double Date Comedy Show, on May 23rd at the Assembly Theatre in Toronto. Tickets are available through Eventbrite, and there's a link on their Instagram page. My First Sketch is a Philly Sketchfest production. You can find out more information at phillysketchfest.com. Follow Philly Sketchfest on Instagram at phillysketchfest. The music on this episode is by the band No-No, which you can check out at nonoband.bandcamp.com. Like My First Sketch on Facebook, rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This is Josh Hyam. Thanks for listening. Go see some comedy.